Okay, good morning again. Warm welcome once again. Let's turn our Bibles, please, to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John and chapter 19. And verse 28, please. And we're going to read from verse 28 through to 37. This is our Lord here on the cross. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the others which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pray, shall we? Father, come again before you once again this morning. And Father, we know that your word is rich, that it is deep. Father, that it is so very precious. And Father, we do just pray that you would break open your word this morning to us, Lord, that you would bring out of your precious storehouse good things, Father, spiritual food for us this day. Lord, you know the need of every heart. You know those, Father, who have trusted you as their personal Saviour. Pray, give them a greater appreciation for the blood of Christ this morning. And for any, Father, who do not yet know you as their Saviour, may they be challenged that they must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I pray, Father, that you would multiply your word this morning like the little boy's lunch, five loaves and two small fishes, Father. For you and for your glory, that empty me, please, of myself, and please fill me with yourself, with your spirit, Father. And in your precious name we do pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So here we have the Lord Jesus on the cross, and right here we're reading about the last part of what took place here. And this, what the Lord Jesus did in coming to die for the sins of the world, the Lord Jesus being crucified, this was the purpose for which he came. He was to be called Jesus, for he would save his people from their sins. And here, right at the end, here with his feet and his hands pierced, his body having been lacerated with the Roman cat of nine tails, he gives up the ghost. Okay, no man took his life from him, but he gave it up willingly. Then we see the Roman soldier here piercing his side, and forthwith there ran out the blood and water. And perhaps with exception to the centurion who had an idea of what was, he at least knew that Jesus was the Son of God. The Roman soldiers probably had no idea of the significance of this event here in history. Jesus Christ is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And this was a plan that God had for the salvation of souls, for the salvation of the human race, to make a way of escape from the fires of hell. And there our Lord was, hanging there on that tree. He was pierced. Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we see that his blood was shed. Title for this morning's message, Blessings of the Blood. Blessings of the Blood. First of all, we see the blood, God's payment for our sins. God's payment for our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And this word redemption is the Greek word apollutrosis, meaning redemption or deliverance, meaning a releasing effected by payment of ransom. And you know that you and I had to be redeemed. And that this was something which cost God to redeem us from the slave market of sin. We had to be purchased. And if we were to be purchased, there had to be a reason for the purchase. And there must have been a cost involved. Things in our society cost, don't they? We know that only too well. Bills cost, food costs, everything costs. But we see that salvation, to know God personally, to be able to be reconnected with our God, to have eternal life in heaven, is something costly and something that must be purchased, something that must be paid for. We purchase things all the time, don't we? Perhaps sometimes more than we should. And we usually pay for things either because we have to or because we really want something. Okay, and we're willing to put our hand in our pocket for it. But we see that when God, in his plan of salvation, sent Christ to be the payment for our sins, to have his blood shed for the penalty of our sins and to buy us back, we see that it was not because we were good, but simply according to God's mercy and God's grace that God sent his Son to die for us. Grace has been used as an acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. So our sin gives us an extreme debt. What a foolish thing it is to think that we are not people who are sinful. And how many people seem to think that I'm a good person, therefore God will accept me on that basis. But it's not so. Our sins, our wrongdoings, our transgressions against a holy God don't come without a very high cost. We live very much in a day, don't we, where sin is overlooked. And it's where people are very quick to simply sweep sin underneath the carpet and really not see sin as a big problem. To not see it as a problem when someone falls into immorality. To not see drunkenness as a sin. To not see it as a big problem if you tell a lie here or there. But all these things are sin. And so sin gives us an extreme debt before God, which we are never able to repay. And people say, well, wait, what? I thought that God was a God of love. I thought that God is forgiving. You know, God is forgiving. Yes, he is, but the debt still has to be paid. Speaking with this Catholic lady on the door, and she said about how that God is ever forgiving. And true, he is, but still, payment must be made. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19, it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, this morning, let's get a grip, not only on the love of God, but also the seriousness of sin. The very most precious metals in this world of gold and silver could not pay for our sin. But we see that only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would suffice for the payment of our sins. Acts 20:28, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Perhaps you're a Christian that sits here today feeling disgruntled, maybe feeling unhappy, perhaps a little embittered. Perhaps a little ungrateful. Remember, your salvation came at a great cost. And that you always, 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 always have something to be thankful for. And that is your salvation. Remember when the disciples came to the Lord and they were rejoicing because the devils were subject unto them. And he said, "Rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven." Something to that effect. So today, if you're unhappy, perhaps you're in a dark cloud, rejoice if your name is written in heaven. Do you know, also we need to remember that this payment of blood, that it is through the blood we see that good works are cancelled out. You know, and God is glorified in that. And if you're a saved person today here, you're probably well schooled and well understand that salvation is by grace through faith. But take some time, even so, to think about it. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And you know, this is the way that whereby God receives all the glory in salvation, because there is nothing that we can boast in. And that the only acceptable payment God will take is the blood of Christ, because we're unclean. Isaiah 64, 6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. We're all as an unclean thing. And you know how futile and how offensive it is to God to come to him with the filthy rags of our self-righteousness in order to try to pay for our sin. Can you imagine buying a beautiful gift for someone and to bring it before them and saying, here, this is for you, and they come running out with a big box of filthy rags and say, I want to help you pay for it. What an offense. But people do that to the God of the universe. The blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been shed, and people try to come to God by their own efforts. But no, not good enough. Only through the blood. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Wow, what an offense to come before God the Father in the rags of our self-righteousness. No, only redemption through the blood. It cost God to send his Son. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What a glorious thing. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:12. And there we see also that wonderful aspect that salvation is forever. People might say, yes, the blood of Christ cleanses you for today, but you have to be really good, otherwise you might make it if you die tonight. If you, the blood of Christ has forgiven you for your past sins, but now you have to try to do all this effort, otherwise you'll go to hell. No, it's not like that. God has obtained eternal redemption for us. That which is forever and ever. We have a place reserved in heaven forever and ever once we're saved. Back when one of the members of the royal family got married, I think it was Prince Harry, and at his ceremony they had a minister of sorts was there, and he was preaching. He was preaching about love, and he said, love is redemptive. He might have said some other good things, but it's not quite right. Although love may have been the motivation for our redemption, love in itself is not redemptive, but the blood is redemptive. You need to remember that. People say, but God's always forgiving. Yes, but his love may be the motivation for your redemption, but that in itself can't redeem you. It's not until you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed today? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Let's look at some wonderful blessings now also of what the blood of Christ has done for us. Now that we've saved, the blood of Christ, our justification. The blood of Christ, our justification. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Justified. We could say, just as if I'd never sinned, we're made righteous. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't this a wonderful truth, that once we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that God no longer holds our sins over us anymore? He doesn't bring our sins back to remembrance and say, see, look at this. Remember this? No, he puts them away from him. And we're justified just as though we had never sinned. God sees us completely different. Perhaps you're a Christian this morning and you feel condemned. and you feel that, wow, you know, I remember what I used to be before I got saved. Or I remember the times of my failings even as a Christian. You know, God has made you justified through the blood. As though you'd never sinned, because all of Christ has taken the entirety of your punishment. Now you are now clothed in the righteousness of Christ, not in the rags of your own self-righteousness. The moment that we believe on Christ, the moment that we look in faith upon the Saviour whose blood was shed for us, we are justified by his blood and we are made the righteousness of God. When God the Father looks upon us, he now looks upon us with favour, because we know that God is holy, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no moral imperfections with God, and God is so pure and holy he cannot look upon sin without wrath. But once being washed in the blood of the Lamb, now when he sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. We are justified by the blood of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made righteous. Do you know some people don't really like to hear much about the blood? And they really don't want to really hear much about the blood of Christ in their religion. You know, back years ago when my father was pastoring here, there's one night, I think it was one evening, he preached on the blood of Christ. And there was a couple who were here, and afterwards they were really quite disgusted. They just, all this talk about blood, and they were just, they were disgusted by it, and never came back again. I don't think they'd ever been saved, never been washed in the blood, hence why they had no appreciation for it. Do we really need the blood? Do we really need the blood of Christ? Hebrews 9:22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." And you say, really? Shedding of blood for my sin? Yes, that's the seriousness of it, that it took the blood of Christ. And without the blood of Christ, no remission, no forgiveness. Without the blood of Christ, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? And if you have, rejoice today. Also, we see another aspect of the blood of Christ. We see peace and reconciliation with God. Peace and reconciliation with God. Colossians 1, please. Colossians 1 and verse 20 to 22. It says, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Do you know, ever since our first parents fell into sin, they became separated from God. And they could no longer have the fellowship with God which they once had, and they were hiding, weren't they, because of their transgression. So people are still hiding today. And people need their sin cleansed away in the blood of the Lamb so that they can then be in touch with God. Because of the fall, man is estranged, separated, alienated from God, from the God who loves him. First and foremost, we see, you know, we are estranged from God. And people out there today, they're spiritually dead. Maybe some of you here today are spiritually dead. And you know, you don't have fellowship with God. Sometimes people think, you know what, I'm okay, I've got a good life, but they're spiritually dead. They have a functioning body and a functioning soul, but a dead spirit. Dead in the very core and essence of themselves. And we see that God, through the blood, how he has reached out to us, those who are his enemies, and how God sought to make peace with us because he loved us. Even though we're alienated from God, enemies of God, we see that God in his love reached out to make peace between us and between himself. Because people sometimes think that they love God and that really, you know, that they always love God and God's going to accept them. But you know, before you're washed in the blood, God sees you as an enemy because you simply have been living for yourself. Whether it be living out in sin in your own way, or whether it be simply being religious in your way, doing the Christian thing in your way, There needs to be repentance and faith in Christ. But you know what a wonderful thing it is when God makes peace with you and I. And is there Christians out there today, this morning, and you remember when God made peace with you and brought peace into your heart? One of my good friends, Bud Wizzartini, some of you probably know him, was raised in a Catholic family. Very religious, but lost. Never known the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And one night, he himself confessed his sins to the Lord and how God took the burden of his sin away and filled his heart with his peace. And he was so happy, he went home and he was going around. It was nighttime. He's telling all his family about what God had done in his life. And then he left his family and he went off down the street and he was going around the place telling all of his friends and about what God had done, all his unsaved friends. And he said that he didn't want to go to sleep that night because he was afraid that the peace that he had would go. And when he was telling his testimony, this is the way he said it. He said, "But when I woke up, it was still there, bro." And he smiled. Amen. Amen. Peace with God. Once estranged, once enemies, once looked upon with wrath by God, rightfully so because of our wickedness, but now brought into loving fellowship with him, reconnected with the God of the universe, God who made all things, and he's now my father, my dad. Glory. Amen. Glory. Before we're saved, we're also estranged from each other, aren't we? Mankind is at odds with each other because in their heart of hearts, in their spirit, in the realm of their spirit, they're not connected with God. How many fights are there? How many wars? Because mankind does not have the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love within them. Do you know that sometimes people have gotten married, a man and a woman have gotten married, and they thought, you know what? We get married, you know, we think this is going to fill this empty void in our hearts. We think that this is going to make the difference in our lives. But they found that it didn't. But oh, when they got saved, wow, that made a difference, didn't it? And do you know that in a way, man is also, maybe digressing a little here, but you know that even so, we ourselves before we're saved, do you know that we are estranged from ourselves? We're alienated from ourselves. We are, in a sense, broken, fractured inwardly. We still have a functioning mind. We still have a body, but you know, we're dead in the realm of our spirits. But how, when God, through the blood, making peace through the blood of his cross, reconnects us with himself and reconciles us to himself, and how God makes a difference in ourselves, in our relationship to others, and most importantly, in our relationship to him. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Until you've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus, you're at odds with God. You think, I'm okay. No, you're not. You're at odds with God. You're alienated from his presence and you're God's enemy. You have to, if you have not been washed in the blood, be reconciled with God today. Be washed in the blood. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you lost that peace this morning? Has it, not that it's not there down deep, but have you become disgruntled in yourself? Perhaps become in a place where you're no longer resting, where you're no longer experiencing that peace that you ought to have. Come again before the throne of grace. Very important point coming up now. The blood of Christ, direct access to God. Direct access to God. Hebrews 10, please. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The blood of Christ, direct access to God. And here we see the picture here of the Old Testament, of where there was the tabernacle, and it had two parts. It had the holy place, and then it had the most holy place, where the Ark of God was and where the very presence of God would dwell. And the only person who was able to go in there was the high priest, and that was once a year to take blood in for the sins of the people. And that was by the high priest. We also know now that the Lord Jesus, he is our high priest, and we now have direct access into the presence of God by the blood of the Lord Jesus. We don't have another priest going into God's presence on our behalf, but we can go directly to him. And this whole idea that we need to speak to a priest who will then speak to someone else or who will then speak to God for us, that's not according to the word of God for today. We now have direct access into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And here's a very important point. Sometimes we feel that when we sin that we cannot go into God's presence, but it's absolutely not true. We are able to go directly into God's presence with boldness. Boldness to enter into the holiest of all, boldness that we can go directly to God, not on account of our own goodness, okay, because we fail God, we sin sometimes, but we are able to go with boldness on the merits of the blood of Christ. And maybe if you're feeling condemned or you're feeling under condemnation, you can go before the Lord even today, if you're feeling in that way, and you can say, Lord, I'm coming, not on the merits of my goodness, but I'm coming on the merits of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because his blood covers me. I've been forgiven, I've been cleansed in his blood, and I'm coming directly into your presence. When we read in 1 John, it also speaks. Let's go over there. 1 John. John 1:6-7. Actually, we'll go from 5 to 7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. Now notice it doesn't say that we are cleansed and then we go into the light of God's presence. No. We simply go straight into God's presence on the merits of the blood of Christ. Even when we fail, we go straight to God. And there, it's a different relationship. We are no longer alienated in the way that a sinner is who is not saved. We can walk straight into God's presence, claiming the blood of Christ, and we are there able to fellowship with God our Father. And like a son with a father, we are able to confess our faults, our shortcomings, our sins to God, and we can know the cleansing of the blood of Christ in the light of God's presence. I remember that. You have direct access to God. Also, the blood of Christ, we need a purged conscience. We need a purged conscience. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9:12-14 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And so there it was, the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer was used at that time, back in the time of the tabernacle, and it was used in a way for the to to um for the sanctification here, the purifying of the flesh, but it says here, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How we need a purged conscience. Purged from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. So I hope you have a better appreciation for the blood of Christ this morning, if you're saved, of what it has done in your life. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus yet, you haven't been washed in the blood of the Lamb, I would encourage you to do that this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your precious blood, which cleanseth us from all sin. I pray for any, Lord, who are saved yet feeling condemned, help them to go once again to the cleansing stream, to be plunged in and to be washed once again, not for salvation, but for cleansing, Father, in your presence. And for any, Father, who have not yet been washed, not having received eternal forgiveness, eternal redemption, I pray they plunge into the fountain this morning and be cleansed forever. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.